All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Started last week going through the book of Matthew chapter 10 and applying this to pioneering. This is Jesus sending the disciples out to do a work for God. So we're going to be going through the right through the whole chapter, numbers of issues that we see in this, and we'll apply this. So let's get some scriptures. Pete, read for Matthew 10, 5 and 6. Robert, Matthew 10, 5. Where are we at? Then David, better Matthew 10, 5 and 6, the second time. Okay, so we said last week we looked at the issue of power. That's the foundation where Jesus begins, because everything else doesn't matter unless you have a supernatural dimension at work. Then he moves on. And the second issue is that pioneering will always be affected by place. Where? This is the second issue that Jesus deals with, is where do you go? And so let's look at this. Matthew 10, 5 and 6.
These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Okay, so in this case, he's telling them and directing them, where do you go? And that's a very simple issue. So let's talk about the need for direction. This is an obvious one, is how do pioneers figure out where to go? And we're going to look at both areas and buildings. And those are the two issues that are encapsulated in this. You know, we've had new converts ask, does the pastor just surprise the people at conference? Like, they have no idea where they're going? Does the pastor just announce a city? It's like, no way. And that, of course, is not true. So in this scripture, Jesus gives some specific and very practical direction. That's found in Matthew 10, 5.
These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans.
Okay, so in one sense, this is negative direction, but he was saying that right at the, and of course this applied to this point in time in Jesus' emphasis to the Jews, etc. But it is something that we can consider, that is, Jesus said there are things you want to avoid. And that's a very important issue in pioneering and in being effective. So let's think about some practical direction in a number of areas. This is kind of a shotgun of a few different areas. So one of these has to do with physical location, and let's talk about buildings, in choosing a building and things that you look for. Number one would be visibility. It's a very simple, this is very practical, but if you want to build a church, in other words, pioneering is total strangers, you're hoping to draw them to you, it would really help if they could find you. That is an important issue. So is the building visible? I've had, you know, through the years, seen guys that, Pastor, I found this awesome building. They're renting it for $3 a month, but there's a reason why. And that is it's impossible. You would need GPS and laser sighting to be able to locate it. So is the building visible? That would really help. And then, of course, signs. It's going to be very difficult for strangers to find you if you can't have a sign. There are, sometimes we've had guys that they rent a building, but as part of the building owner, they will not let them put up any signage. So it's going to be it's going to be darn near impossible to build a building. So you have to have a building that can be seen in some way, and then you have to be able to identify it, whether that is a, some places have it out on the front, you know, some kind of marquee sign like you would see in front of Frontier Village. That would be like a marquee sign in the front of a center to alert people that they're there. You have signs on the building, if you're allowed to do that, sandwich boards, banners, different kinds of things, but that is an important part, is visibility. Second thing is accessibility. And this is a very, very simple one, is it easy to get to? There are guys in, and that have found buildings, but the problem is it is located in the middle of a building. You have to go through three interior doors and two hallways down at the back in the center of it. It's just going to be very, very difficult for people to find. You want it to be accessible. So that can be within the building. That can be in location. You have to factor in, for instance, in China, the guys tried to locate near subway stops because people use mass transit. In South Africa, we had to factor in people being able to get there by taxi. That would be a, if you located a building where the taxis didn't run, that would mean in some areas they would then have to cross gangland in order to get there. So it's just a practical. You would complain that the city's hard, but in actual fact, you just put it in a dangerous place. And that wasn't wise. The third thing has to do with acceptability. So this is one of the factors. When you come to a new city, particularly if you come to a larger city, it's very difficult for you to gauge what a city is like. And you may see something, there may be a building that you think is fantastic, but if you ask questions, I say a couple things to guys. Number one, go at night. In the day, there's a place, man, this looks awesome. You go at night, you'd want a 50 cal to be able to walk around and say, this place is bad news at night. Places change, so you want to factor that in. Often one of the things is by asking locals questions, that really gives you an idea, because it's very disorienting. For me, in a different sense, it was the other way. I went and scouted Johannesburg, and I drove around, me and Mike Sawyer drove around. I have no clue. This is a city of millions. I don't know, there's 8-10 million people in this city. Massive. I have no idea. So I'm asking questions of people, like what kind of people live here. And so I went into a rental agency just to find out. I just was curious. That would be a good gauge. And I said, I want to rent a house. And she was like, how many servants do you want? Do you want an indoor, outdoor swimming pool? Do you want a tennis court? And finally, I'm asking, like, I said, who lives here? And she said, wealthy Jews. I said, this is not going to work. So I wouldn't have known that. I mean, to me, I looked around. There was a place there. It had a shopping area outdoor. I saw a stage. Man, I'm picturing myself to outreach. But because I asked locals, that was in a wealthy area or in a wealthy sense, which usually is not the case. Often what is the case is you look at an area, you think it's great, and you start asking people who live in the city, hey, what do you think of this neighborhood? And they're like, no way. Don't you know that's where the Crips and the Bloods, they all live right there. Or, you know, they'll tell you things you don't know. That's Murder City. That's where the prostitutes all hang out at night or whatever it might be. So then what you have done, by ignoring location, if you just say, hey, I found a building, I found a hall, then you'll be frustrated because anyone who is not, you know, a gangster, anyone who's not like that, a family, you know, single women, they would feel very hesitant to enter in. And then you'll wind up blaming it on the devil. It's not the devil, it's just a a difficult area. So that has to do with physical location. I've done whole things on buildings in general, but just to keep that in mind. Second thing has to do with people groups. What kind of people do you reach? I didn't give it out, but verse 6 says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This, of course, is particular for this time. This is what God was doing at that moment, was he was working with the Jews. And so this is practical. These are the most likely to respond at that moment. So that is true when choosing who to reach. A common thing that you'd be looking for is who is the most likely to respond. Again, a gated community in Scottsdale is probably not your best option, right? A wealthy area. That's just historically, rich people need to get saved, but Jesus said it's difficult. So that's just a common sense, right? So our fellowship is normally built on working class, generally middle class, lower middle class. That's where most of our people come from. Ethnic minorities are often your most responsive. Young families, responsive. You know, we say Keys to Revival, M&M, Mexicans, and military. And the reason why we say that is historically, they are more responsive than a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant living in a upper middle class area. It's just common sense of who would be most likely. So, in choosing this part, this factors into partly where you go, who you're going to reach. You often want to locate in an area where you can pull from a variety of people. If you locate in a neighborhood that is 100% Laotian, you've now just limited yourself, right? If you go to a Vietnamese community or there are areas, and if you've lived in a small town, you don't know what I'm talking about, but in big cities, people congregate very, very much to themselves. And so if you locate right in the middle, then there are other people, they don't like going outside their comfort zone. So you are wise to try to locate people who are open, but in an area where you can reach. I often give the advice, locate on the edges. That means that you don't locate in the middle of the hood, but you locate on the edge in an area where you can pull from the hood, you can pull from middle class, you can come. And a very common sense thing is people generally are willing to go up, but they're not willing to go down, right? And so you can relate to it. People from Scottsdale are very unlikely to go to South Phoenix to go to church. They just won't do it. People from lower are often willing to go up in social status, but that's just common sense. And so you are wanting to try to find a place where the most amount of people feel comfortable in coming. Third issue has to do with distance. So when Jesus first sent these disciples, he didn't send them to the other side of the world. Common sense. A number of issues. He told them start in Jerusalem, remember? In Acts he said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. That was common sense. So this was a distance issue. And so Pastor Mitchell has used the analogy in our fellowship that we've grown like crabgrass. You know, if you understand what crabgrass is it grows, and then because of the seed, it inches along. That's how our fellowship was built. We initially, Wickenburg was the closest. Tucson was in those days 4 hours away. Then it was New Mexico. Then we moved on beyond that. We didn't launch our first church in New York City, right? But there was common sense reasons, because we could help them in Wickenburg. We could help in Tucson. It was a distance issue. So There can be many factors. We'll talk about hearing from God in a moment, but using common sense is often a very good issue. Planting a church where you can have help is a great blessing. Okay, you make life harder, and there are other factors. I have pioneered on an island before where there was no help. There was no one to help. There was no one. I couldn't take people to rallies. I couldn't take them to, you know, conference was 3,000 miles away. So that is an issue. Distance becomes an issue. If you can locate near an area where you can get impact teams, that'll bless your life. Where revivals, you can take your people to attend a local revival, which it radically speeds up the process of putting the idea of fellowship into people when they can be exposed to others of our churches. So if you think, I want to go in the middle of the, you know, there's no one within 1,000 miles, then that might not be the wisest course. Maybe it'd be better to find something else. Jonathan Heimberg, when he was on staff, was going to go out. He wanted to go to a remote town in the state of Washington. And I said, I just don't think that makes sense for you, for the issue that Jesus talks about here has to do with distance. Okay, let's talk about inspiration. This is the final issue. In our scripture, Jesus didn't tell them exactly where to go. He gave them guidelines, but he didn't name villages and say, you will go to this village, right? So, Matthew 10, 5 and 6.
These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Okay, so Jesus gives common sense guidelines, but then the rest was up to them. In other words, they had to work this out for themselves. We do not have a master map in which Pastor Mitchell and I are plotting, you know, this is the next city that we're going to go to. That's not how our fellowship operates. So pastors give guidance, or like Jonathan, I give guidance. I don't think that's wise for you, but then there are other issues that you trust that the man is going to get a hold of God. So where to go sometimes is based on need. You may really, really want to go to a certain city, but if a need comes up, we always respond to need. In Jonathan's case, is he was thinking of pioneering, but there was a need in Las Vegas, and that's where he went, because of need. That's a valid reason to go. There are other factors. If all you've ever done is flip burgers and you want to go pioneer in San Francisco or New York City, I just don't think that's going to work. I talked to a guy who's pioneering in Queens. He says he's really happy he found an apartment, $2,100 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. He's like, that's really good. It's like, okay. Wow. So that's a practical consideration. Is often in big cities, you probably have to have an ability to earn some serious income if you are going to go to a larger city. So financial considerations. The man himself, if you've grown up in Chino Valley and you tell me you have a burden to go in the middle of New York City, I don't think that's going to work for you. You don't grasp culture shock. It's just radical even to get you. People think differently in big cities than they do in small towns. And so, you know, that is a consideration. And then sometimes there are, in rare cases, there are places that a pastor will have a burden, and a man in the absence of having his own, the pastor can give him some direction. So, in a practical sense, let's say that you are going to... I pioneered twice. The first one was I went to a city that was 50,000 people, maybe. So it didn't matter. That's where I'm going to go. It was limited numbers. You know, you go 1 mile in that direction, 1 mile in that, you know, it's a limited. When you go to a city of millions, literally you can go, there's a lot of places you can go. So the principle that I tell guys if you're going to a big city is go fishing. In other words, you determine that by response. When Robert Polacco came to Johannesburg and he was really stressing on, you know, there are so many good places. It's like, where do I go? And God wasn't saying, thou shalt go to this area, this neighborhood. So I said, Robert, no problem. Let's do an outreach. How about let's just outreach some different places? And we did an outreach in area located near Eden Park. And I'll never forget the look on Robert's face. He's like, man, we don't have flyers. And I said, doesn't matter, Robert. You'll see. And we cranked up some music. I'll never forget the look on Robert's face. I had a kid that fancied himself an R&B singer. He actually sounded like a strangled cat. As he started singing this god awful, the look on Robert's face. I'm laughing, but sure enough, hundreds came. I think we estimated there were 400 people that came out.
Wow.
And it was a gust of wind. We're holding this screen. And, you know, altar call, you know, everybody lifts their hand. And so at the end of it, I said, this is my friend Robert. He's come from America to start a church. How many of you, if we had a church here, how many of you would come here? And hundreds of them lifted their hands. So I said, that was easy. Direction. there's a church there to this day. And so that was fishing. The fishing was good. Why would you want to, you know, I hear about this other, but the fish are biting there, right? So that makes common sense. So I say to guys, go witness in an area. If you don't know, see what kind of response. I believe that God leads us by response. That's an important issue. The Apostle Paul, Acts 16, he went down to the river using common sense. That's where people hung out. He was most likely to find people down by the river. And he witnessed. And a lady responded, this is where we should be. So that's a common sense thing to consider. So the final thing is praying for inspiration. This is something that you should pray. You should probably not think about this the, you know, 2 weeks before you are launched into ministry. This is something that you should ask God. Sometimes it's a burden. I feel drawn to. I've been praying for this city, for this state. And that can be God. Or if not, God, show me. Show me where to go. Give me some direction in that. And so it may be that God may have you pray for an area that somebody else might go. God may have you pray for an area because you might go. And that's valid, but here is that Jesus is involved in direction. That's the confidence you have to have. Jesus is involved in this. And so if you'll talk to Jesus, he'll give you some help in some practical areas. Okay, that was, I understand, was a quite a broad spectrum, but that may trigger some questions that you have, something you want to ask about pioneering.
Do you not recommend going to like very small towns compared to like?
Well, that is a personal preference. So you have, you know, number one is common sense. You know, a larger town has more fish would be a logical thing. It depends. You have small towns that they can have a closed mentality. In Australia, when we would go, we had churches in very small towns. They had a saying is that when you move to a small town, it takes 5 years before they forgive you for coming. Right? And then you start the process of building relationships. So that's just, people in small towns are insular. But on the other hand, there are guys that they wouldn't suit going to a big town. So that, you know, God equips people differently. I when I get into a big city, I feel energized. It's like, man, I love it. There are other people, it freaks them out. For me, when I was a young disciple, when we would do concerts and come into small towns, I would pray on the way back. I said, God, I will go where it's hot, I'll go where it's cold, I'll go where it's ugly, but please don't send me to a small town. Depression would come. We used to drive back from these little towns, and we'd come, and I'd see the lights of the city. Be like, ah. But other guys, it's opposite. So that can be a personality or an equipping issue. But in practical terms, I think that there, you know, the smaller a city is, that would be a common sense, practical, there would be likely or the possibility of less response. That make sense?
Yeah.
Somebody else?
It's grouping your disciples or grouping your guys that you send out, something that's a priority to you, in terms of grouping around each other, Prescott guys?
Well, not by a master plan. No, I don't. You know, I don't have this grand design because I'm working with what I'm hearing from the guy. When I've sent guys to the same area, I do that. Number one would be if a guy is having a good response in one area, then let's hit it with more. Number two, if a guy is lacking confidence or lacking real direction, then it would be better for him to be near his brothers that he knows. Mm-hmm. So it's those factors, but it's not by master plan, you know. No. Somebody else.
You're talking about going near help. You're talking about going near a bigger church that can send you impact teams, right? Not just going near like other pioneer churches, because they can't really send you the help that.
Well, I think there's a lot of different factors. Yeah, small churches can help you in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, part of it is just it's just relationship, right? And part of people go crazy when they pioneer, so they get. It's the old. They say that you know, in the olden days of the West, when they would first had photographers, they would send these people out to, you know, farmers that were isolated from there, and they had the crazy eyes. It's because they were totally isolated. So there's something about you know, life sucks. Let's get together and have dinner tonight. We'll laugh, and life feels better. So, relationship alone. Then secondly, you may have a guy, he may not be able to send you 25 people, but, you know, he sings and raps, so, hey, let's get together. I pioneered on an island to where I could play drums, and I was near a guy that, he played guitar and his wife played piano, so we would get together and form little bands and trade back and forth, you know. So there's some help. Sure, if you can, you know, if you can locate next to a church that can send you mega impact teams, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, but often a church of very large size, then they often are also filling the cities near them as well. Somebody else?
What's your primary way of determining financial level in the area? I mean, I know you can, I guess you can Google stuff like that, but what do you guys go to first to see, you know, what are those people, what's that class like?
Are we talking a city in general or neighborhood?
I think cities in general, like maybe.
Yeah, cities in general. These days, fortunately, it's all available. You can Google, you know, mm-hmm. cost of living, mm-hmm. rental, you look up what the rent costs. It's a pretty easy to determine.
Okay.
Back in my day, there was these things called atlases, books. You had to open them like this. Yeah, so that's the advantage. You can get very good information I'm asking around. Yeah, but then once you get in there, one of the things that is more difficult is when you're looking at general information, you have no idea. They say this rent is good, but you have no idea what that area, what they're talking about. That's a different issue, you know. But generally, cost of living indexes or cost of living in a city, you pull up any city, it'll tell you averages. That'll give you some idea.
And I kind of meant regarding like the people there, like you said, Scottsdale, maybe he's on it.
Yeah, but all that's available online. Yeah. Every city has, and that's called demographics. So if you Google it, it will tell you the demographic makeup of a city. It'll actually tell you the racial makeup. It'll tell you what races live there in percentages. It'll tell you the income levels, demographics, how many men, how many women. It's all that's available. I don't know how the Apostle Paul did without Google. So.
So say you're not from a big city or even been to a really big city, but you feel inspired to go to a big city.
Yeah.
Is that something you can work your way into? Or?
Yeah, I would say not at first. So for me, I grew up in Prescott. Then I moved to Perth, which back then was maybe 700,000. That's where I was sent out of. And so I used common sense. God wasn't telling me thou shalt go to this city or that city, so I used common sense. I said, okay, Sydney was 5 million, Melbourne was almost 4 million. I don't think that would be good for a boy from Prescott to go there first. So I said I would like to go. I told you I don't like small towns, so the smallest I would consider be 50,000, and maybe 500,000 would be the biggest. So in an atlas, I searched out in Australia what cities are 50,000 to 500,000. And there were only three that really met that criteria at that time, that were available. So that was common sense. But then I went from there to Melbourne, which was almost 4 million, and I got acclimated quickly. I realized I really like big cities and function well in them. So then it was no big deal, So, yeah, common sense. Common sense is a wonderful thing to have. Who else had a hand?
Yep. So, thinking about areas, but thinking about housing, how do you want to, locate your house compared to, you talked about fishing. how close do you want your house to the area that you...
Well, you have all kinds of different things. In South Africa, where our churches were, where the response of the churches were, it would be impossible to live there. It would be so incredibly dangerous. So all of us had to live out in secure areas. So that was that's a common sense distance issue. But then you had guys that violated common sense. We had a guy that went to South Africa and he located a house an hour and 45 minutes away from where his church was going to be. Right? The man was dumb as rocks. How? So, no, just think about logistically. An hour and 45 minutes one way. So you're talking, and then just add a bit of traffic to that. So you're now talking, yeah, if I go to prayer, home, church, I'll go 6 hours a day. I have revival, I'm going to spend 6 hours a day driving? That's just dumb as rocks. That was that, That man is no longer in our fellowship. Foolish man. He caused problems for the next guy. Then, of course, he left. We had to put somebody else. And the guy's like, Pastor, this is an hour and 45 minutes from church. So I was like, unbelievable.
When you're pioneering, how much time would you recommend spending evangelizing? Because I'm not talking about evangelizing for the churches. I mean evangelizing your local area, because most churches would be on support when they're getting started. So obviously you're going to want to spend some time focusing on building that work.
Yeah, as much as you can. That's the bottom line. When I send guys, we give them, everybody starts out with generally 3 months of support, and then I'll see what they do with it. If they work their butts off, I see they're really working hard and getting some kind of response, then we can extend it from there. And so, there's a lot of other factors, but, bottom line, that's why you're there. So the more you can witness, Simple factor. More seed you plant, more chance you have of growing, right? More bait you put out, more chance you have of catching fish. So, but I mean, percentages I can't tell you, or hours I can't tell you. That's for you to work out. Somebody else.
You mentioned that you're seeing success in an area, you'll sometimes add more disciples there, or pastors. You use the same principle in reverse. If you're not seeing success, that you try to maybe negate, or that, does that factor in?
It can. Yeah, it certainly can, but one of the things we do is it's very complicated, because you can have guys who go to an area, and if you listen to them, they'll tell you that the Antichrist lives there, that all the demons of hell live there. But then you realize that's just him. So you got to, you got to factor in. So in general, yeah, there are places that we've had a poor response. So I'm not excited about throwing more guys into it. But I have to try to work out, was that the guy, was that unique circumstances, or is it just an area that has a poor response, right? So the reason why we go over practical things like this is because I've seen guys, they have violated all of these, and then they tell you that the reason why the church isn't growing is because the devils are big there. When it's just, no, you had a building that no one could find, you located it in the middle of gangland, it was dark and dangerous, and whatever it was, So therefore, that wasn't a fair assessment. Same city, if a guy used a bit of common sense, maybe he'd do better. So there's a lot of factors, man. You got to think, you got to pray. Yep.
Is there, a limit? I mean, obviously, with the population of the city, say you got a city of 200,000 or 300,000, and there's already is there, at some point, do you stop?
I would think so. I mean, the bottom line is that you're just headed for conflict.
Yeah.
You get in a city, I would think when you're, if you have a city of 150,000, you put three guys in there, you of course he's not, every person is not reaching every 50,000, but I tell you what, you're going to have fights. It's just going to be conflict. So why do that when there are other cities that are crying out for workers? That just seems to be common sense. So sure, yeah. We lay down basic guidelines in our fellowship. You're not supposed to locate in a big city a building within 2 miles of another guy. That's just common sense. So guys violate that, and then they fight, and it's distracting. Yep.
Let's just say you have a city in mind. Would you recommend asking a pastor around that area if you should go in that area, or should you just make that decision?
Again, that's complicated. It depends on who you're asking. Right? If you're asking Brother Gloom and Doom, then you might not get a good answer. If you're if you ask a guy who he really wants to plant a guy there, you factor in all information, but there's a lot to this, which is the main thing is why you need to pray, because there's so many different factors involved. Phil?
Question about how you handle logistics, but I guess when you send a guy out, and will they stay in a hotel for a little while you determine the perfect area, or because once you get a house or an apartment, you're kind of somewhat locked into the
So you've got to use hopefully the guy's using common sense in locating a house, but typically a U-Haul's for 7 days, and you're talking massive storage after that, so you got to hustle. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, you got to hustle in doing this. Mm-hmm. And so I've gotten good at it. My wife and I have moved overseas within days. So some guys are like, everything takes them time. They're very slow at it. But yeah, so sometimes they do. Unfortunately, they discover you know, I thought this was good, but now it's actually dangerous for school distance. There's other issues that then they ultimately have to move again, but I certainly would prefer not to have to do that. So use common sense. Get all the information you can before you start.
One of the factors you use, do you have guys go out and check out a city that they've been praying about and thinking about, having them kind of look over the land a little bit ahead of time?
Rarely. Yeah, rarely. I mean, it's just... not often, you know. It's often not necessary. And again, because there's so much information available, that would be very unnecessary as far as choosing a city. Now, in choosing where to go in the city, that's a different issue.
Yeah. That's more along the lines of what I was thinking is the location areas. You can get a lot of demographics in Google, but what about when you're on the ground? Sometimes it changes.
But that's locals will help you with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Locals will really tell you that. Things that you had no idea. If you'll ask around, they'll tell you. They know it.
How long do you want a guy to take before he, you know, lands, gets a house, before he actually gets a building? Do you want that quickly, or is it something that you want to start with?
Yeah, there's, again, there's, we generally, it would be better to start in a hall so they're not locked in. In a big city, that would be a factor. I don't want to get a building only for him to tell me in 6 months, you know what, I realize this area really sucks and it's dangerous, so we got to spend another $20,000, you know. So it'd be better for him to get a hold. Now, you go into a small town, you got to be there, right? So that's why I went to a city of 50,000. It didn't really matter finding a building because I had to be there. It wasn't like I was going to move somewhere else. So on rare occasion, I've had guys that they arrived in town, got a house, walked out, and they found this building that the angels were singing, the lights were shining from heaven, and owner was throwing $100 bills at them. It's like, yeah, okay, we'll take that building. So that would depend on experience. If I had a totally experienced man, a seasoned veteran, I would trust his judgment. And so, whereas a younger guy, I'd say, you need to look around for a while. Or an inexperienced guy. Look around to where I feel more confident. And then if I can, I try to help. If a seasoned man is somewhere close by, I'd like him to go look. Help me. I'll sometimes call a pastor friend and say, can you help this guy out? Go look at this building for him or with him and give him some ideas, you know. Yeah. Lots of factors. Anyway, good for you to be thinking for the future in advance. Okay. We will stop there.